we're in a political season, and truth be told, political reporting can sometimes be almost rote. You ferret out the criticism of a candidate A, explore it, let the voters take it in, do the same with candidate B, repeat over and over. It's balance, or as media columnist Jim Rutenberg writes this week, it's the idealistic form of journalism with a capital J reporters have been trained to strive for. But what if, as Jim ponders in a provocative piece in the New York Times, a journalist thinks that candidate A is actually dangerous, very dangerous, someone who shouldn't be near, say, nuclear weapons? Is it time for what the Columbia Journalism Review called a Murrow moment, a reference to the legendary journalist who took on witch-hunting Senator Joe McCarthy? Jim asks, is this also a time when journalists should throw out the rule book? He notes, some are already calling Donald Trump erratic with no attribution. The New York Times' Jim Rutenberg joins us now by Skype. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. And we also bring in NPR's media critic, David Folkenflik. Hi, David.
Hey, Robin.
And David, I want you to stand by because, Jim, I want you to flesh out. Have I got your premise right? And tell us a little more about what you're saying.
I mean, kind of. Yes, generally, yes. The thing about taking him on, I don't know if it's quite taking him on. It's covering him in a way that, as long as I've been in the business, which is almost 25 years, we've never quite had to cover a candidate. If you think he's dangerous, then you really have to press on, what are you going to do with the nuclear codes? And, hey, voters, here's how it works with the nuclear codes. If you think he's belligerent, and we're seeing this already, I think we're already in a Murrow moment, no longer is it his opponents say, because the behavior's right there. So in a sense, you're doing what you always do, which is report. But in another sense, it creates a sort of imbalance in the coverage because you're using descriptors of what's happening that don't usually apply to candidates, and it can ring a little as a lack of balance. And in fact, it is a lack of balance, but it's a necessary lack of balance.
Okay, and you point to reporters who you say are doing this, using the word erratic, or someone like Brian Stelter from CNN who's, you know, asking people to go out and really examine Donald Trump's dangerous, is what he said, claims that the electoral system is rigged against him. Failure to do so would be unpatriotic. And this is, again, Brian Stelter. But he is a commentator. David Folkenflik, I want to bring you in because this veers us into a debate that we often have with each other as journalists and with listeners about balance and moral equivalency. You know, some call it false equivalency, this idea that we have to give the same amount of coverage of the same kind to candidates A and B. Your thoughts on Jim's column?
Well, let's unpack a few things here. I think what Jim's arguing, not to put words into his mouth, is that standard format for journalism may not be up to the task of surrounding and unpacking what Donald Trump is, what he represents for the nation, and the movement and support that he's been able to build over the past year or so. And the question that Jim poses is standard journalism able to do that even as it recognizes that challenge? And from my standpoint, I'm in some ways more critical of coverage, I think, than Jim is, at least until the conventions and the general election season started to really build. And yet I'm not sure that journalists really executed even standard journalism up to its top standards. I think that Trump was allowed to skate. I think that it didn't subject his business dealings and his rhetoric to the same kind of examination that it would have a more typical politician. I think it turned over incredible swaths of real estate to him, almost unexpurgated, particularly on television and online. But I'm a big believer in what I call earned conclusions. You do your reporting, you show your work, and if not because you're carrying a brief for any politician or any ideology, but because you think the facts and the truth lie in a specific place or direction, you say so and you show why. And I think even beat reporters for mainstream news organizations increasingly either have or are asserting the inclination to have the right to do this, where they can say, you know, Trump's rhetoric. They may not say Trump is a racist, but they can say that Trump's rhetoric at times strays into racist areas and appeals to demagoguery. And you can get into areas without simply name-calling by showing how you get there and how you show this to be the case and make sure you're showing the best possible case against the conclusions that you're reaching. Conclusions aren't a question of so-and-so is good, so-and-so is bad. Conclusions are, here's how this would work in practice. Here's the threat that might represent. Here's the promise that might contain.
Well, Jim, take that up because it sounds like you're saying you can come out and say you think somebody is racist or erratic. And my question to add to what I think I'm hearing from David is, why would journalists have to do that when there are now plenty of critics of Donald Trump Susan Collins, the Maine senator, who says she won't support him. 50 top GOP operatives who wrote a letter saying he was unfit for president.
Well, first of all, I don't think you call him racist because the reporting isn't there to call him racist. But the reporting is there to say he is playing to certain racist views of some of his supporters. That's unquestionable. So again, it's just like I haven't experienced an election where I've written that about someone this strongly. I mean, there's been a history in this country of using code and, you know, being more subtle about it. Trump is outright doing it. And as a class, political reporters have always been uncomfortable going there. What about Hillary? Well, it doesn't really apply to Hillary. So he's going to get more coverage like this. But I agree, of course, with David, is it's not about name calling at all. It's about calling it the way you see it. But the way you see it is you put it up on the scale, and it's not the same as the way you see Hillary Clinton. It's much more traditional.
And David, we feel that in various offices, you know, putting together programs, this sense of, you know, you've heard it in the halls. We've done too many stories on this candidate. We have to do some on this candidate. There is an attempt to try to balance the scales when maybe, I think this might be what Jim is saying, maybe sometimes the scales just happen to be unbalanced.
They're absolutely imbalanced, and Jim's quite right about that. And I'm the kind of guy who says, hey, look, this network hasn't done the same kind of attention to candidate X versus candidate Y. In this race, I am absolutely guilty, if you want, of that offense. But I think Trump is by far the more important media story, even as I've done some coverage of Hillary Clinton.
But don't you run the danger, though, as Jim says in his column, of, you know, if you focus more on Trump because he is a spigot of news items, you obscure legitimate questions about Hillary Clinton, who won't give press conferences.
A story that I did a fairly tough hitting piece on just on Friday and Morning Edition, and which we're continuing to follow, the question of her approach to the press. I think that's absolutely right. But, you know, Trump is overwhelming the media's ability to handle in some ways because of the ways in which he says things that are untrue and the ways in which he reiterates things and contradicts himself in ways that make it hard not to conclude that at times he's lying.
And, you know, David, you sent us a note with some of your thoughts, and one of them was interesting. Is Trump like climate change, where at a certain point you say, no, we have to cover this without taking the second opinion on something? I think that's what you meant by that. But Jim Rutenberg, I'm wondering, if as we have this conversation, isn't one of the dangers of saying, okay, we have to go more full bore in exploring this candidate who maybe didn't get as filtered as he should have been during the primaries? Is there a danger overlooking the swath of the electorate? David K. Johnson calls them people living in economic terror, the people who are supporting him, overlooking why he is where he is.
Absolutely. I mean, and failing to understand that populace is why I think in part the press failed to give Trump the proper vetting at the start of this or for many months into his candidacy, which was, this is like such a sliver of the electorate, he'll never win. When that electorate, A, was a big enough sliver to give him the nomination, and B, their grievances are serious. And yeah, there's a huge danger of that. But at the end of the day, what are Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton going to do about it? So that's when you see his economic plan yesterday. You saw the stories that were written today that said, okay, but this really isn't doing a lot for the middle class. And he would disagree, I would assume, but in terms of what economists are telling reporters, that's kind of coming down again, like giving a serious look at an economic plan. I would say if that had happened 4 months ago, I don't know if there would have been that many stories written about his economic plan.
Well, Jim Rutenberg, I just have to ask you, though, you quote Brian Stelter, Joe Scarborough, calling Donald Trump dangerous in their own opinion, but these are opinion makers. These aren't straight-ahead journalists. If there was one who stood up now, like Moreau, and said the time has come to, you know, take on this individual because he is too dangerous to be president. As a media critic, what would you say?
If you think he's dangerous, I think what you do is you press a line of stories to check it out because you owe it to the readers and the voters. If you think he's dangerous with nuclear, then really keep pressing and keep going. Don't be afraid of that. Don't shy away from that. Just go with it. And let's not forget the last thing. He is a complete political novice. So even if Donald Trump were not throwing up all the dust he was throwing up, was not so unconventional, he'd require a ton of scrubbing. Because when's the last time we saw none of us living, I don't think, have seen a candidate with this little political experience or public experience?
I think it's important to remember that even the Murrow moment occurred when public opinion was starting to shift against Joe McCarthy. And so while it was magisterial, it was not necessarily the killer blow that we assigned to it in retrospect. I also think that there's a lot of research that says, you know, simply escalating the rhetoric against a figure tends to solidify and harden opinions on both sides rather than convince a lot of people. I think there has to be persistent drumbeat of intense scrutiny given to Trump because he's never endured this kind of scrutiny before. He's never run for public office before. And I think that the press is waking up to that. And at the same time, it's wrestling in public view with how best to hold him accountable for what he could do and for the implications of his rhetoric, as I don't think even Mr. Trump entirely knows what he means by what he says.
Jim Rutenberg, media columnist for The New York Times. David Folkenflik, NPR media correspondent. Fascinating. And let's take it up online. We want to hear from listeners as well. David, Jim, thanks so much.
You bet.
Thanks.
And by the way, David Folkenflik gives us an example of the difficulty of covering Donald Trump. Trump once famously claimed that he gathered trucks and machinery around to falsely lead investors to believe he had a viable construction site. But according to Trump's own ghostwriter in a recent New Yorker story, that story itself is not true. So as David concludes, Donald Trump even lied about his own deception. How do you cover that? As we said, there's going to be strong opinions on the notion of covering Donald Trump, especially with a rival, Hillary Clinton, who's misrepresented her own use of emails.